Welcome back to Mr. Jeffreon's World History Podcast. This is episode 23, and we will be discussing the transformation of Europe. This includes the transformation of Christianity, the consolidation of sovereign states, the development of an early capitalist society, and the Enlightenment. If you would like to submit a question for the podcast, you may do so by calling the Google Voice number 321-804-APWH, or just simply email mrjeffreon@gmail.com. The 16th century brought about various transformations to Europe. One of the most important transformations was brought about by the Protestant Reformation. The Catholic Church had been a unifying force after the fall of Rome. However, the Catholic Church was now filled with corruption. Problems within the Catholic Church, including papal wealth, clerical immorality, and most importantly, the sale of indulgences, brought about the Reformation. In 1517, Martin Luther, a German monk, challenged the Catholic Church. He released the 95 Theses, which criticized the corruption of the Catholic Church and specifically the sale of indulgences. Luther proposed many reforms, including the closing of monasteries and the translation of the Bible to vernacular, the language of the everyday people. Luther refused to recognize the authority of the papacy. Instead, he viewed the Bible as the only source of authority. Luther's argument was reproduced and widely read thanks to the new invention of the printing press. His argument received popular responses, and by the mid-16th century, Lutheran Christianity had been adopted by half of the German people. Luther's reforms even spread beyond Germany to Swiss cities and Low Countries. However, Luther's Protestant Reformation was neither the last nor the first attempt at reformation to the Catholic Church. Before Luther, John Wycliffe preached of anti-clerical and biblically-centered reforms. Juan Hus also preached of reforms before Luther. He is considered the first church reformer. John Calvin was a reformer that rose after Luther, and he preached about predestination and had successful missions to Scotland along with France and England. Protestant Reformation was not just a religious reformation, it also became a political reformation. Henry VIII's conversion sparked the English Reformation, which was far more politically fueled than the religious one. The goal of Henry VIII, of course, was to have a male heir to inherit his throne. When he was unsuccessful in creating such an heir, he blamed his wife because, of course, he had no knowledge of the science behind reproduction. And he wanted a divorce. The Pope would not grant him that divorce, so he basically said, okay, I'll start my own church and grant my own divorce, and that's the birth of the Anglican Church. The Catholic Church again faced reformations between 1545 and 1563 due to the Council of Trent. The Council of Trent redressed abuses and reaffirmed Catholic theology. The foundation of the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, by Ignatius Loyola, supplied missionaries for the Catholic Reformation to actually reform the Catholic Church from within. However, despite these reforms, tensions between Protestants and Catholics remain prevalent. Theories and fear of witches, accompanied by religious conflicts, led to hysteria of the witch hunts. These witch hunts led to the execution of 60,000 people. The religious tensions also brought about religious wars, including the Civil War in France, the war between Catholic Spain and Protestant England in 1588, and the revolts of the Protestant provinces of the Netherlands against the rule of Catholic Spain. One of the most notable religious wars was the Thirty Years' War. This war began as a local conflict in Bohemia and grew to involve most of Europe. It devastated the Holy Roman Empire and would become the most destructive European war until World War I. The Thirty Years' War was finally ended by the Peace of Westphalia, which laid the foundation for a system of independent sovereign states. The religious competition in Europe not only led to reformations, but it also led to the consolidation and centralization of states. However, the Holy Roman Empire failed to centralize. Although Charles V made efforts to centralize the state, internal fragmentations and pressures from the French and the Ottomans that halted expansion played major obstacles that prevented the centralization of the Holy Roman Empire. Meanwhile, the monarchs of Spain, France, and England had centralized and enhanced the powers of their respective states through direct taxes, fines, and fees that would enhance state treasuries. England and the Netherlands achieved constitutional states. These states were characterized by limited powers, individual rights, and representative institutions. Both England and the Netherlands had a prominent merchant class, commercial empires overseas, and economic prosperity. However, the English Civil War brought about the rise of a constitutional monarchy. Absolutism, which was based on the theory of the divine right of kings, a monarch saying, "I'm in charge because God says so and he's bigger than you," was presented in France, Spain, Austria, and Prussia. France became the model of absolutism with the rise of Louis XIV. He kept a large standing army and promoted economic development, industry, and the development of infrastructure, including roads and canals. The state system was not the only transformation that Europe faced. Population growth, brought about by better diets and increased resistance to disease, increased urbanization and the transformation of cities. Cities experienced rapid growth and became important administrative and commercial centers. Early capitalism also began to take shape. Capitalism enabled private parties to take advantage of the free market conditions and make economic decisions. The price of goods was determined by the concept of supply and demand. Capitalism became actively supported by governments, especially those in England and the Netherlands, who chartered joint stock companies and authorized them to explore, conquer, and colonize foreign lands. Early capitalism also brought about social change in Europe. Rural society encountered improved material standards, increased financial independence. Families were strengthened and became more independent. An early proponent, of capitalism that you should always associate with the practice is a man by the name of Adam Smith, who wrote a book called The Wealth of Nations. The Scientific Revolution and the Enlightenment also aided in the transformation of Europe. This was a time of new ideas, of new theories, and new understanding of the universe, such as the heliocentric model. The previous model was the Ptolemaic or geocentric model, which stated the Earth was the center of the universe. Thanks to great thinkers like Copernicus and Galileo and Kepler, it was understood that the sun, not the Earth, was the center of our solar system. The Scientific Revolution had many important figures. Kepler determined planetary orbits to be elliptical. Galileo outlined modern laws of inertia. And Newton eventually came up with the idea of the theory of gravity, along with practices such as the development of calculus and physics. The Enlightenment thinkers were much like the thinkers of the Scientific Revolution. They sought out natural laws and governed human society, much like how Newton and thinkers of the Scientific Revolution sought out laws that govern the universe. France became the center of the Enlightenment. It provided a place for philosophers to discuss and debate. The Enlightenment gave way to thinkers including John Locke, whose ideas would later influence the American Declaration of Independence. Adam Smith, who, as mentioned earlier, provided the laws of supply and demand and that influenced the capitalist idea. Baron de Montesquieu, who used political science to argue political liberty. He came up with the idea of separation of powers, separate but equal, as we see outlined in the United States Constitution. Another notable name of the Enlightenment was Voltaire. Voltaire was a French philosopher and prolific writer whose satirical works, including Candide, capture most of the ideas of the Enlightenment. The Enlightenment, much like the Scientific Revolution, destroyed one world to make way for a new one. The Enlightenment weakened organized religious authority by encouraging secular values and the concept of deism. Much like the Scientific Revolution, the Enlightenment promoted and produced progress and prosperity. The transformation of Europe not only reshaped the state system, but it also reshaped the ideology of many of the European nations. This transformation of ideology and the access to new ideas would eventually lead to the Age of Revolution. That wraps up today's episode. Tune in next week. Until next time, this has been Mr. Jeffrion's World History Podcast.